I'd like to call a meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District Board of Directors to order, and I'd like you to stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
President Leet?
Here.
Vice President Graves?
Here.
Director Mayer?
Here.
Director Pease?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Now it's time for public comment. Anybody who speaks to the board on an item not on the agenda, this is the time. I have one request, Mr. Nelson.
City manager answered my question informally, so there's nothing you can talk about.
Anybody else have any comment under public comment? Hearing none, we move on to the consent calendar. I'd like to pull item C3 off the consent calendar and deal with items 1, 2, 4, and 5.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Item number C3, approval of addition to Park and Recreation event calendar for 2017. Mr. General Manager.
I'm going to bring up our Park and Rec, Matt Kaiser.
Good evening. All right, so would you like me to give a specific question? So probably what I'll do is, why don't I have Amanda come up and to help with the questions, because we are working with the Chamber and these are the two representatives. So I've given you kind of an outline, but maybe better straight from the source. How's that? And I'll be here in case I need to jump in.
Thank you.
So if you want, that's just my note, sorry.
Hello, I'm Carolyn Graham. I'm president of the Discovery Bay Chamber of Commerce.
I'm Amanda Duff. I'm a membership director of the Chamber of Commerce.
And what we are proposing, just very quickly, is having an event once a month that can be held in the community center on the grounds, pretty much the back area here. We have a number of food trucks coming once a month. So we're starting out with 5 food trucks. It would be 3 entrees. And please jump in if I water down the road. 3 entrees and 2 dessert food trucks. We will have some sort of entertainment that will be a number of our local artists and vendors, different arts and crafts vendors. And again, this will be once a month. We will also be serving sodas, beer, and wine. And we're working on tying up everything and looking forward to starting this April and May.
Great, thank you. Public comment. Do you have a public comment request? Mr. Helfer, C3? No. Okay. No questions? Any staff?
Well, it's going to be a fabulous event. I hope you all
come. Any director discussion? Do I hear a motion?
Move approval of C3.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
And
abstain.
Director Steele abstains. Item D, area agency reports. He's contract cost of fire.
President Leet, you have a presentation tonight.
Right. Okay. Chief Anderson.
Good evening, board. Before you tonight is the operations report for the district for February. There were a total of 544 calls in the district with an average response time of 7 minutes and 43 seconds. In the Discovery Bay area for February, there were a total of 68 calls with an average response time of 11 minutes and 29 seconds. Your Discovery Bay engine ran 15% of the calls for the whole district, and the total runs for the month were 101 calls. Looking at major incidents for the month of February, the district responded to 6 structure fires, 26 vehicle accidents, 6 additional vehicle accidents requiring rescue. Due to call volume, we had 0 engines available in the month of February, 8 times for a total of 2 hours and 36 seconds. I'm available for questions on that, and this is my last board meeting, and you'll have our new interim chief starting next month.
Any questions for Chief Henderson?
Well, just Chief, it's been
awesome working with you. I appreciate all you've been through, all you've helped us to support. You've been a constant support of our district out here, making sure that we do keep Station 59 open. And I just want to thank you for all that you've done for Discovery Bay as a town with a huge responsibility outside of that to cover. So thank you very much for your faithfulness.
And I'd also like to say thanks a million, and I hope you understand and realize how important it is for you to show up on these meetings and give the reports, and thank you for that.
The district has, always prioritized being out in the community and making sure that the public understands and all of the, even though we're, made up of basically seven different communities, we try to make each community's fire department as its their own, even though we're part of the district. So.
I too would like to thank you for all your years of service and for the dedication that you've put into the district, and wish you the very best in your town.
We really appreciate all the time that you spent with the board in the last few years and getting to know you, and really appreciate the sacrifice and all the challenges we worked through, and we appreciate all your hard work and hope that you have a great time outside of the fire.
Take care.
Don't move, Chief. This is my get to get the chief in order. This is a proclamation from the town of Discovery Bay to Chief Henderson. I'm just going to read it because I think the chief's done a lot for this district, and not only for the district, but also the town of Discovery Bay. It says, whereas Hugh Henderson is the fire chief of East Contra Costa Fire Protection District, a district that includes the town of Discovery Bay, and whereas Chief Henderson began his public service career as a volunteer firefighter with Bethel Island Fire Protection District in 1980 at the age of 17, and whereas, while still in fire service as a volunteer firefighter, Chief Henderson served as a police officer with the City of Brentwood Police Department from 1988 to 1995. And whereas in 1995, Chief Henderson left police service to devote himself full-time to the fire service as a firefighter with the City of El Cerrito, rising to the rank of captain. And whereas in 2005, Chief Henderson was hired as a battalion chief with East Contra Costa Fire Protection District, rising to the rank of chief. And whereas Chief Henderson has worked tirelessly to deliver quality fire service, fire protection, and emergency medical services to a fire protection district that has complex needs and varied interests, and whereas Chief Henderson has provided steadfast leadership to East Contra Costa Fire Protection Districts in times of economic hardship and dwindling resources, and whereas during Chief Henderson's tenure, he has safeguarded the people of the town of Discovery Bay through the delivery of compassionate and competent fire service and emergency medical response, and whereas Chief Henderson has demonstrated throughout his life and career a sense of deep responsibility and pride, both professionally and personally, and whereas Chief Henderson has announced his retirement after 36 years in the fire service, now therefore be it resolved that we, the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay, hereby approve this proclamation thanking and honoring Chief Hugh Henderson for his many years of public service and congratulating him on his retirement. Next item on the agenda is the Veolia report.
So, month of February, continue our safe practices of 128,000 hours of safe work. Right, installed a new control panel at the plant, really nice, so we can see the new ox stage along with the old ox stage. Get the chance to come down here and see it. It's really nice. All the reports were submitted on time. We did submit our annual biosolids report to the EPA. All wells are running, 33 million gallons production on water, which shows here we're a little bit less than we had last year, so still doing a great job on conservation in town. We have almost 44% in conservation compared to 2013. The wastewater, all parameters are well below limits. Plant running very well. No permit violations. Collections, which I'll go into a little bit more. We assessed over almost 6,000 to 7,000 feet, and I'm going to give you a little demonstration of how we did that this year. And preventive maintenance staff continue to do a great job keeping the backlog to a very minimum. So now I'm going to show you some new technology that we're using in the community. Carol?
Mm-hmm. Turn up the volume. Hold on. I think I need to close the PowerPoint that you have. Of course, now I can't get it. Okay. Make it bigger. Yep, start it over.
Okay, this is called the SL-RAT. It's a new technology used for assessing sewer lines. This is a small video trying to give you an idea how we use it, how we've been using it in the field.
It analyzes sound waves to measure pipeline faults in less than 3 minutes. The SL-RAT will enable you to prioritize your pipeline and TV inspection crews to inspect and clean the more problematic areas. The science behind the SL-RAT is that the transmitter unit provides the active acoustic transmission through the pipe, and the receiver unit provides the microphone and signal processing capabilities to listen and interpret the received acoustic signal. Additionally, each SL-RAT component is equipped with GPS and the ability to communicate between the transmitter and the receiver via radio frequency, thus providing your organization with data labeling, data registration, and test validation capabilities. To operate these devices, simply place each unit in a manhole. Once each device is in place, simply press the button on the transmitter to begin sending sound waves through the pipe, and then press the button on the receiver to begin the assessment. Once assessment begins, the transmitter sends sound waves into the pipeline. With a serious blockage, the receiver will display a rating of 0 to 3, resulting in a poor condition. This pipe should be inspected more carefully to pinpoint the issue. In a complicated situation where a pipe is damaged or a lateral is protruding into the main line, the pipe may seem clean, but the SL-RAT can reveal these hidden issues. A clean pipe would yield a result of 7 to 10. When a pipe has a good rating, you can focus your time and resources on the more problematic areas. Pipe inspection with the SL-RAT will quickly allow you to better direct your resources to the areas needed most. Learn more at DoheneyCompanies.com.
So we went out and did this back in December, and the 1st of January went out and assessed about 6,000 to 7,000 feet, or 25% of the Discovery Bay. I'll show you what we found.
Oh, sorry.
That's more dramatic.
Yeah.
And you need your PowerPoint back up.
Yeah, we'll go to the next slide.
Mm-hmm. I think I have to start it from the beginning, then you can.
All right. Okay, and this is the data we assessed on this on the assessment. So
want me to show you that one now?
Yep, click that, please.
Okay.
So we bring the unit back into the office, and then we download the data where we collected. So, you make it smaller. So this shows the town of Discovery Bay, and you can see all that is the lines that we assessed, and the score, you'll see a red line, or a yellow line, or a green line. You can go ahead and make it bigger, Carol, so we can see the line, there you go. And it will tell us if the line was, like it showed, fair, good, or poor. That's just one segment. Like I said, we did a lot more. They're just showing one segment, so you did demonstration. So you can close that. Okay. So after we did our part, let me bring back the presentation. The results we got was, out of the almost 67,000 feet, 95% of the sewer line was good shape, clean whistle. We did have about 4% that were rated fair and 1% that was poor. The poor was flushed at that time, the red. And then now we got scheduled TV. We'll come back and TV that 5%. So it narrows down cleaning the same pipe over and over when it's not necessary to do. So I just wanted to show you kind of some of the new technology we're using.
Yeah. Did you go back into that 1% and re-rat it?
No, we didn't. So we flushed it. We really had to have some type of blockage.
Okay.
So we flushed that line, and now we'll TV it.
To verify
if there was anything we missed. So once we flush it, it blows everything out, and we pull that debris out.
Okay.
And then with the fair ones like that, it's either a blockage or a crack somewhere. And then with the TV, we'll be able to see what was in that.
Okay.
But they were all flowing. But it, we can concentrate now on the more problematic areas. And as we go over this over the years, we can see if we're going to have, is this a problem child sewer line or not? Because next year, we go back and it can still be green again. So if we got, you know, good clean sewers, we can concentrate on the more problematic areas.
Bernie, do you have to go manhole by manhole, or could you do longer reaches?
No, it's manhole to manhole.
Okay.
So what we do, as a demonstration, we put one in this manhole, go up, and we just walk around, flip flop them back around. We could do about 10 to 12,000 feet a day.
Transmit, receive, transmit, receive, correct. Transmit, receive.
That's correct.
Will this then, is your intention then to replace scoping the entire system like we did before with this system?
No, we've already scoped the whole system. We've already flushed the whole system. We've already TV'd the whole system. Now we have to go back and give us where we can pinpoint. Instead of reflushing something that don't need to be flushed, this will pinpoint the concept. That's just concentrating on any problem areas we might have.
Okay.
Is this the equipment that you just lease once a time a year? Or
well, we rented this for this year because it's very new to North America. It's really big in Europe. It's kind of taking off in the East Coast. But we're probably one or two projects who's used this on the West Coast. So I happened to see this in a trade and had it come out. They came out and did a demonstration for us. And then we rented the unit to assess the town, and we'll move forward from this year, and we'll get the whole town assessed.
Right, so if I understood right, then you TV'd everything.
Yes.
But by using this technology, you don't have to go back. If you get a green line, you don't have to go back and TV.
Correct. Yeah, unless there's a problem in the future, like right. There's a break there.
If it changes to a red.
Yeah, because the standard on TV is about every 10 years, flushing is about every 5.
Oh, okay.
So this will, like I said, let us pinpoint our problem here.
Great, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from Bernie?
Thank you, Bernie.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Moving on to item F1, audit and financial statements. Mr. General Manager.
Yes, I'm pleased to announce that our fiscal year 2015-16 audited financial statements are in for your approval tonight, and I'll have Dina introduce the auditing team.
So we have none other than Mark Croce and Pauline Sanguinetti from Croce Sanguinetti and Van Ravine to present to you an overview of our fiscal year 2016 financial audit.
I don't have anything quite that exciting. I'm very disappointed. This is just going to be numbers.
Is this a low-tech audit?
This is a low-tech audit. So I'd like to start tonight by coming and letting you guys know you know, probably the first question that most of you ask is, you know, how did the audit go and how are things going? And we're here tonight pleased to report. The district is well managed. Our audit has no findings. And so we have the highest level of assurance that we can give as auditors. So the auditors are really exciting. It is an unmodified report, which means that's the best level of assurance that we can give. I'm going to go through the report really quickly, just an overview tonight. You have the detail in front of you. We're happy to answer any questions that anyone might have. But if we look through the report, we're going to go into page number one, which is the independent auditor's report. And as we indicated, that is an unmodified report on the financial statements for the town of Discovery Bay. Moving on to page number three, we go through management's discussion and analysis. This pages numbers 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to page number 11, is what was added in a number of years ago when GADSB 34 came into effect, and it is essentially a nice summary that the public can understand, where we would go through and discuss at a high level in words and not necessarily in numbers the financial highlights of the district and how the statements are organized. So just to go through some of the bullet points here on page number 3, the district's net position increased by $1,940,267 over the prior year. That includes a $364,000 increase in the net position of the governmental funds and a $1,575,000 increase in the net position of your business activities. Business activities are primarily for this district, water and sewer. Total assets of the district were $60,335,000, with capital assets being $46,011,000, and your current and other assets being $14 million. This district is a younger district, is very well positioned financially. Your assets are very well distributed, and you do have a nice cash position that allows you to move forward to perform your projects without having to immediately be going into borrowing. Total liabilities were $14,455,000, which were consisted primarily of your long-term liabilities, $13,265,701, which are your bonds outstanding. Assets of the district exceeded liabilities by $45,879,868, which is the net position of the district. Of this amount, basically the $13 million was unrestricted, and the $32 million is the net amount invested in capital assets. As any community services district, your primary assets are your sewer and water system, and those assets are being depreciated over their estimated useful lives. On a current financial resources basis, we still have to prepare statements under the old governmental accounting standards, the old fund-based standards, that just look at one year at a time, basically money in, money out, and how are we doing. Your fund revenues exceeded expenditures by $504,734, and your proprietary funds revenues exceeded expenditures by $1.5 million. So the district, again, well positioned to move forward. And at the end of the year, there was $1,731,000 in cash and investments that are for the governmental activities. That's like the community center and the basic government activities. And there's $12 million in cash and cash equivalents for the water and sewer fund. So that's kind of a real basic overview of the district. Again, very healthy, very good to move forward. The remainder of the information going through on pages 2 and 3, kind of going through information about the statement. We have it on page number 5, a financial analysis, kind of looking at year to year, your net position of the governmental activities, business type activities, etc. Page number 6 goes through the income statements. Again, very nice overview, 16 to 15. Of your governmental activities and business type activities, just basically detailing the information that I just gave you. Page number 7, we do have charts. This is exciting for an accountant, and it has color. So we can show you expenses and revenues by your governmental activities, your business activities, year to year, showing exactly where your expenses are and your revenues are. What's interesting and what's important to note here is this district also has a financing authority. So when you look and say, gee, we're taking in all this money on our proprietary funds, sewer and water, more than what we're spending, why is that happening? Well, that money is getting used to pay down the debt service
in the debt service fund or in our financing authority. So money's coming in, looks like we have a lot of extra cash, but really money is going out to make those payments on the debt service as time goes on. Moving on, I'm going really quick here. We're going to get over to the end on page number 10, capital assets. Basically kind of talking about some of the highlights of what went in this past year. You guys did put in, we put into service the effluent filtration project. That was about $162,750. And then the secondary process improvements in plant 2, $1,162,000. So we're historians here. These improvements were in process for a number of years. They were placed in service for depreciation purposes during the fiscal year that began July 1st of 15 and ended June 30th of 16. Vehicle storage facility plant number 2 was the other big asset that went into service during that period. There are more assets that are being constructed. They will continue to be placed in service based upon their completion dates as we go on. Finalized at the bottom of page 10, debt administration. The district had $13,260,000 in debt outstanding the end of June 30th, 2016, compared to $13,565,000 outstanding from the prior year. So you are making your debt service payments on time as scheduled, and that will continue to decrease based upon the amortization schedule of the debt. Moving on to page number 12, I mean, again, I can go into as much detail as you like. These are the statements. This gives you all the details of your governmental activities and your business activities from year to year. And we go on, that's the statement of position. And on page number 13, you have your statement of activities, which is basically your income statement showing your expenses and revenues. Again, same information I just kind of did the overview on. I'm going to kind of maybe stop there and move on and just let you guys know, this district and moving forward in the notes, you're very fortunate. As a young district, you do not have a pension liability. I am the person that generally is bringing very bad news to many entities that have pensions, CalPERS pensions, specifically those that are in San Joaquin County Public Employee Retirement or other private county retirement systems. There are large liabilities that exist and are outstanding. This district is very blessed to not have that. As a younger district, you do have a deferred compensation plan. It is a defined contribution plan. There is no liability beyond the money that is put in on an annual basis. In addition, I'd like to say that this district also does not have post-employment benefits. Many of the other cities and public agencies that we worked with have promised benefits to employees beyond retirement. Those benefits now represent a very significant liability to those entities. This district does not have any post-employment benefits that it owes and has a liability for. So your liabilities are very simply your accounts payable and your debt obligations outstanding that you have made arrangements to repay through the resources coming in. I'm gonna kind of leave it there at this point and open it up to some questions, and then I do have one other letter I wanted to go through. But does anyone have any questions I can answer regarding the financial report?
Board member questions?
No.
Then I'm back on to the, there's a secondary letter that's included. This is a letter to the board of directors. It's one point, there was a point where the GASB and the financial accounting, those that set the standards, wanted us to actually grade financial statements, A, B, C, D, you know, something like that. Well, thankfully they came out with a letter. So we're responsible for letting the board of directors know what we found during our audit. So we wanted to let you know about the qualitative aspects about what we found in the audit. Does that mean, did we come in and did we see you guys like, boy, we're pounding something into a budget category because we don't want to miss a budget. So something that's utilities or sitting in supplies because we didn't have room in this one for that one. We're pleased to let you know that's not what's happening here. Your district is recording things in accordance with what they are. We're not seeing the square peg pounded into the round hole. Not every number is rounded up or down to try to meet a budget. So that we're pleased to say the qualitative side is very good. We do want to let you know that estimates do exist in your financial statements. They exist in every financial statement. But we do let you know there are some sensitive estimates, and one of them is your estimate or management's estimate of the allowance for doubtful accounts. We do have people that occasionally don't pay our bills.
So we do have to estimate that. And that is in there. We are pleased to let you know we feel that estimate is very fair and conservative, and that your management evaluates that annually. We'd have to let you know if there were difficulties we encountered in performing the audit, meaning we came out to your office, there were records were unavailable, or we were not able to complete certain procedures. We're pleased to let you know that did not happen. Everything was found, everything was what we needed was available to us. Corrected and uncorrected misstatements. We do provide a listing of journal entries that we did make in connection with the audit. That is now required. We're happy to let you know these are very standard entries that we make for many clients. This is not something that is outside the box of the scope of what we do. So we're here to let you know. The one large entry we did make, because we do maintain the depreciation schedules as part of the service we provide, is we did record the transfer of the assets from the financing authority over to the funds. So I did want to let you know that is primarily the largest entry we made, but it is made in connection with tracking of capital assets and depreciation, which we do maintain. Beyond that, we did not have disagreements with management. We would have to let you know if management consulted with other CPAs saying, hey, we don't like your opinion on something, and we're going to go try brand X, and brand X will do it this way. We would have to let you know if we were aware that happened. We are not aware that happened. So very positive report. This is, again, accountants, we don't like to say everything's fabulous because we just don't say those words, but everything is adequate and meets the standards, so that's what we're able to let you know today. Anyone have any questions?
Any board questions?
I do just want to say one thing is that I want to thank management for letting us. We come out and we're out for a few weeks, and so I want to make sure everybody knows and the board knows that Dina's doing a good job, and she's providing us all the information we need when we're out there. We're disrupting her life for at least a couple weeks. So we're very appreciative of that, and she's very helpful, so we do appreciate it. Mike, this was our first year with Mike, so maybe next year we'll get the full feel.
Don't be bothered for yes. A week.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, no board question?
Oh, I'd just like to say that it may not have sounded quite as exciting as the high-tech stuff, but
yeah.
I'm pretty excited with what you're doing.
Well, good. Thank you.
At this point, we have public comment. Mr. Helper?
No problem. You want us to stay up here?
Sure. Okay. Pardon my, I'm Bill Helfrich, 661 B Report. Part of the public comment that I was going to go over was what he already went through, and I wanted to emphasize to the board what looks to me to be a very aggressive position on unallocated surpluses, or just plain surpluses. When you have $1.9 million that you collected in excess of what you spent, and you have $13 to $14 million in reserves, I think you're flirting with Proposition 218 inadequacy regarding the need to have your revenues match your expenses.
Thank you.
We'll ask the auditor.
Any other public comment? Yeah, close public comment. Any other board discussion?
No, I'd like your response to that. I'd love to hear from our auditors on that last point. I didn't know we had $13 million in reserve.
The $13 million is your cash position that the district does maintain. It is definitely, if you move into your report, there is a report on where those equities belong. And there is a portion that is board designated. And so let's get to
the page. That?
It will be, get to there. Page number 17 does list your net position. So net position in each fund brings us to what is invested in capital assets, which is non-spendable, what is board designated, and what is undesignated. So those are listed there on page number 17. There is money that is undesignated.
That money is what allows the district to go out, you know, right now, in order to do some of your current projects. If you didn't have the cash money that you have, you would not be able to start the projects that then the bond funding will later come back to spend. In addition, this district, in my opinion, as a younger agency, has been able to plan for the future. We have been trying for many years to be building some money so that the current residents are paying for current services rather than depleting the funds and leaving those repairs, as we're seeing with older districts, to the people who are there today. So, I mean, we're trying to be mindful of saying, we realize things aren't going to last forever. There will be things that need repair and replacement, and we're trying to make sure we plan for that today, and that's what's going on in that unrestricted board designated line.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other board questions? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Moving on to item F2, discussion and consideration of approved agreement with Urban Futures.
I invite Dina to again make this presentation.
Good evening. With the agenda report, the district would like to change dissemination and continuing disclosure services. The district has been disappointed with the service it has received from U.S. Bank so far, and would like Urban Futures, Inc. To act as this district's dissemination agent. We ask for approval to enter into agreement with Urban Futures.
Any board questions?
Yeah. How many firms did you look at?
We actually didn't do the research on it. We actually asked Brent Coleman to do that for us.
Oh.
So they received a number of, I guess we call it RFPs, and they selected the one they thought would be benefit the most.
Okay, thank you.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And this is virtually the same cost we're paying today.
It is, and it's including the other bond. So I think it's $50 more, but
we're doubling
it includes the
yeah.
other bond, yeah.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's cool, yeah.
Any
public comment? Close public comment.
Move board approval. Move board recommendation. Or excuse me, staff recommendation.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item number 3: discussion of and possible action related to letter regarding reallocation of ad valorem taxes for East Contra Costa Park.
I think I better turn my mic on for this.
Yeah.
Actually, thank you, Mr. President. I asked that this be brought back for our for our review. Back in November of last year, and just prior to that, we were encouraged by a couple of different organizations to try to put together a position with regards to reallocation of taxes within East Contra Costa County. That came from both the ECB, which is a tax organization, as well as from the ECCFPD, and we did that, and in fact, I have to humbly say that I was one that made the motion to pass that resolution, but in looking at it at this point in our and looking at the things that have occurred since then, I would like the board to reconsider our position, and I'll just point out a few quick items. First of all, the first item I'd like to point out is that there's been a recent redirecting of approximately $750 annually to the ECCFPD from Discovery Bay that directly benefits Discovery Bay. So we're already paying per capita more into the fire district than the surrounding areas are paying. Secondly, six East County school districts wrote letters of non-support for any sort of reallocation, which takes out over 50% of the funds that then we, as smaller districts, would be asked to make up because they're off the table. They're untouchable by law. There was five East Contra Costa special districts, irrigation and water agencies that also have expressed the opposition. In fact, we are the only one that took a supportive response to that option with regards to funding ECCFPD. Fourth, the state of California Legislative Analyst's Office has a report out, and I have copies here for you guys if you want to look at it. But on page 24, it specifically states that we as a local agency have absolutely no ability to reallocate funds. And we know that, but then we're asking the state legislature to do that on our behalf. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is because it will cut into our funds that we have available to do the programs that we want. And then in the long run, we have to raise rates or somehow find money from our within our district to make up that difference. No matter how small it is, we would have to do that. And it's just a shell game, moving the funds from one place to another. And finally, it was interesting, as we were reading the report, I was looking at Zone 8 money, and it looks to me like this year we're going to be about $100,000 short, or at least according to this audit, if this is for current, I don't see a date on that, but for current, the current nice little colorful bar graph we have here on page 7 shows that we bring in about $700,000 and spend about $800,000 in Zone 8, and that's in the building we're sitting in right here today. That's the only portion of ad valorem taxes that comes out of our district. And so we are really, by sending out this letter of support that we sent out earlier, we're actually saying, hey, let's take more money away from our community center that's already going to have budget problems going into the future. That's the only part of the ad valorem tax that would actually hit us. And so I just don't think it's wise for us to be taking that position in opposition to our neighbors that have studied it long and hard and decided that it's not the right thing to do. And I don't think that we should be offering up our constituents' funds or asking for the state legislature to take away monies that we need to run the operations that we have here in Discovery Bay. As you know, we've just spent a bunch of money on water meters. We've gotten some extra bonds. We have some other projects that we need to get done with regards to a well. I would hate to see us have to go back and find funding through our constituents in some way to continue to operate because we've given money away. So I would ask the board to reconsider the letter of support that we sent out and actually be opposed any sort of reallocation of our portion of the ad valorem, as well as I would think that as an alternate, we would like to maybe support lowering the majority vote for essential services like the school district has from 66% to 55%. There is some talk in Sacramento at the legislative level to lower for essential services such as fire districts the voting threshold down to 55%, and I think that would be something that we might consider to be in support of. So that's what I have to say about it. I hope it opens some discussion, and maybe we can consider changing our position on it.
More discussion? Ideas? Suggestions?
Well, I'm in support of Director Graves for a simple reason. I believe that there is a risk because it is a shell game, and I don't believe we should be taking the risk. I got to mention, I did not vote for that, by the way, so my comments come out of fact.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with it. I don't think that the concept was great until we find out that school districts aren't going to participate and other folks aren't going to participate, so we can't be the only participation. And I do agree that $750,000 of resident money is already going to support, so we've done our job. The threshold for essential services, I have no problem supporting that.
Yeah, like you said, you've already painted in this. I don't think we should be reallocating it to another group right now, so I would say we should support pulling that to letter back.
Okay, I agree with you, Kevin. The town of Discovery Bay, at least a portion of the people have given up have transferred $600,000 plus $660,000 off to East Contra Costa Fire, which will grow over time. What I do want to do is I really want to support a fix for this thing, because it just goes on and on. Everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else, and no one's fixing the problem. And I would hope that between whatever the town of Discovery Bay can do, the city of Brentwood, the city of Oakley, and the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District Board, and the County Board of Supervisors can get their act together and find a solution here, because time is of the essence. And everybody seems to be spending their time looking for someone else to solve the problem when it's all of our problems.
Good point.
So I very much support the direction this is taking. Again, I just want to see a kind of a strong, I'd like to see a strong statement somewhere in there that, you know, we're looking for a fix sooner rather than later. We've got some changes going to be happening with the changes to the East Contra Costa County Fire Board is going to be changing here very, very soon, somehow, that they can figure it out. Hopefully we can be one of the key players here, because I think it's the county, the two cities, and pretty much the town of Discovery Bay are going to drive this thing. And I'd like to see us have a direct and meaningful participation in that event.
Yeah, I think one of the other things I just thought about, CSDA has a lot of members, and some of those are fire districts, essential services. And I was wondering if we could get a hold of our local representative and ask them to start statewide a campaign to get the threshold lowered. We might be able to get more strength in numbers that way. Certainly, Senator Glasser needs to hear from us about that directly, but CSDA could help with that also.
Good point, Bill, and I will say you're on the right track. I did talk to some people at CSDA, and they are completely opposed to the position that we took previously. And so, you know, we were trying to do the right thing, but things have changed since then. And I think we, you know, it's a sign of you know, trying to get it right that you reevaluate from time to time what you did. I think maybe we probably go to the public on that for comment.
Okay. Well, let's open it up to public comment. Any public comment on this issue? Mr. Hopper.
You know, I realize that this is a real problem, but you scare me when you talk about we'll fix it, we'll just throw more money at it, we'll lower the threshold to vote in more taxes to 55%. We pay enough taxes as it is, and that money should be better spent and better allocated. Just to throw more money at this problem will not fix it.
Thank you. David.
Hello. I'd like to thank the board for taking a look at the position again. I don't need to recite my resume. I've had a lot to do with fire district issues out here. I was actually a volunteer in this department a long time ago. And I got to tell you, all my years, I've never taken so much pause as when I saw the position that the board first took. I only say that because we've been watching this. We've had a lot of experience seeing that, as Director Graves mentioned, this is nothing more than a shell game. This is moving funds and then replacing funds. The unfortunate part is if the reallocation gets done, the voters don't get a say. And I think that's really important to point out, because if that was done legislatively, then they basically take money from you. You have no idea how much they would want to take. And then you've got to backfill it creatively, whether it's going out for bonds or asking for more money to fund things like the community center or whatever needs that this community has. At least by lowering the threshold, and I'm not a huge fan of that, although I'm aware that there's some movement up in Sacramento right now to do that. Just like was done for the schools, emergency services are just that. They're very essential to us. And at least we get a vote, and that's what's important. That's democracy at work. And then the secondary part of that is by changing those thresholds to a lesser majority, then we're not dictated to by a minority. In other words, right now, if a minority votes to stop this, then the district gets no funding. And I can tell you, working on this for 20 years, every expert, every auditor, every financial person that's come back has said the district does not have a spending problem. It does not spend too much money. In fact, they've got very small liabilities, just like this district does. They're actually paying off the retirement funds. And I'm sorry, I'm run out of time here, but they're doing a great job managing the district. They run on a bare minimum, a very, very small budget, and it's just a no-brainer. When you start looking at the equivalent of what you folks are looking at tonight for your budget and your analysts, theirs always says it's revenue. You don't have enough revenue, and there's no magic money machine. There's no other place to get money except from the taxpayers. I don't want to pay any more taxes, just like Bill doesn't want to pay any more taxes. And I'm sure Mr. Mencken back there that pays probably about 19% in the fire district doesn't want to pay any more taxes. But when we hear response times like 11 minutes, we're kind of stuck between two choices that we're not real excited about. So thank you for reconsidering your position. I also have spoken with the CSDA, and they are looking at other options, and they are in support of doing anything but reallocation. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Bob?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I just want to offer a couple of backdrop facts on the scope of the problem you got here. And I commend you on taking the action on this, because you guys are kind of standing out there flapping the breeze. Nobody else is willing to walk the plank like that. Probably just because you didn't understand the sort of show game that ECV was presenting. And it is a show game, so. But to really get a grasp on the scope of the problem here, there was a study done last year to better understand what the prior district needs to adequately service the existing district for now and to future proof it out for about 20 or 25 years. That number is 9 stations, and it requires about $14.6 million over and above what they receive right now. So it's not a trivial amount. It's not an amount you're going to get by reshuffling the deck slightly or wrapping through your couch cushion for a change to pay your mortgage type of effort. It's just not going to work. It's a monumental problem. Keep in mind that reallocation is a zero-sum game. So if you're going to go reallocate in Sacramento, whoever pulls that magic trick off, you're going to have to lose something to gain better fire services. And somebody's going to come up and advocate for that entity you're trying to take money from. So you have to keep that in mind as well. And David already said it, I contributed a fair amount with the shift of BBID money now. It's a pretty significant amount, but I backed the fire department. I've advocated for them for years. I will continue to advocate for them on a plan that makes sense, but the ECB plan never made any sense. But I think it's important if you're looking for quick solutions or just solutions, period, that you understand the scope of the problem that they're up against. And you're not going to get it by just reshuffling the deck. It's just not going to be that simple. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob. Any other public comment? Close public comment and any more discussion?
I just want to, so I appreciate the support and then the board's willing to take a look at this. There's a couple of things. Technical issues, and that is one is that we already have a resolution out there, so we have to address how to recall, restate, readdress, and Rod was the one that was involved in that. Rod's not here tonight, so I don't know what. Go ahead.
Can we bring this back as a future agenda item with a rescission of the previous action and then adoption of the points that are made in the letter that you have here, and we can polish it up.
I don't know that we need a resolution. But
I don't think we need it either.
I don't.
Whatever the appropriate action from the board to forward this letter on to the elected officials who are involved in this issue.
I think it needs to be reviewed. Put that letter together. I think it needs to be reviewed by staff and by legal, and then move forward as soon as we can.
The general manager, can you bring that back at a future meeting?
We will bring
next
that
meeting
back.
Or the meeting after? Yes. One other thing I'd just like to say about this is I would hope that as East Contra Costa Fire moves forward with its reconstituted board of directors, is that we find someone from Discovery Bay and get them elected to that board so that we have local representation that understands the issues that are unique to Discovery Bay, a little bit different than Redwood and Oakley, and far different, from Morgan Territory. So anyway, I hope that as we move forward, we find that candidate and get them on that board.
David. If I may, it's very important, and I'm sorry I meant to mention it in my comments, so thank you if you allow me 10 more seconds.
You got it.
Hugh Henderson left. He was a huge advocate for Discovery Bay. Some of you may recall about 2 years ago, there was some movement on the board to close our remaining station. He's gone now. And so we need to be very cognizant, and again, I'm sorry, I really wanted to put this into my statement earlier, that $700, called $750,000 that gets forwarded by Discovery Bay was crafted in such a way that it's a direct benefit for Discovery Bay for fire services. That's our hook. But know that there are some people over on that side, and I'm not trying to start a World War III here, that would very much like to close our station. They need to know if they close our station, that $750,000 goes away. And that's annually. And as President said, it's going to go up. I mean, it'll be $1 million in a very short amount of time every year that we dump into the fire district. That guarantees that we keep our fire station open. And just please be aware of that, and please keep an eye on it, because we predict they are going to try to make a motion to pull that away. So that getting representation is very smart. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Anything else on that item? No informational items. Director's reports, standing committee reports. Any standing committee reports that we made?
Next week.
Finance committee.
Next week? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
We meet tomorrow. Gee, Christmas. That's why. All right.
So, I'll have a report. You're the chairman.
Okay. We had our first meeting, and the first meeting is always an organizational meeting. We set out some guidelines for the frequency of the meetings and some of the topics. So that's about all there is.
And this was which one?
Finance.
Oh. That was today.
Week. That were 2 weeks. What was last month? Parks and Rec was last month, and I thought there was one today. However, it's next month.
Better to be early.
All right. And we're standing committee reports. I do have one other item. It's not really a committee report, but March 23rd there will be a meeting at the Brentwood with regard to the tunnels. And I would encourage any and every director that can be there. It's at 9 o'clock. If you were at the meeting the other night at the school, you've got a lot of information about it. But I think it's very important for the County Discovery Bay to be represented at that meeting. I will plan on attending, and I plan on having a lot to say. So,
can we go on?
Go ahead.
I would like the board to authorize our chairman so that he can speak on behalf of the town of Discovery Bay. Any other, I'll plan to be there. I'm going to be representing one of my businesses, but I think it would be important. That way we're officially stating something. I don't know how the rest of the board feels about that. Or can we do that?
There's a sense from the board, I would be happy to say that I'm against the tunnels.
Look, no, I feel comfortable. We were all at the meeting the other night. I think we got the facts. I think it'd be appropriate for the... How does that work?
My only concern is that if the board as a whole hasn't taken any sort of position... I'm sorry?
We have made position.
You have made position? Okay, so to the extent that your board president is relaying anything that is consistent with the positions that have already been taken, the concern obviously is once he starts stating a position and then maybe veers into a personal opinion to make sure that those remain separate and aren't construed as a position of the town of Discovery Bay.
I'll be very, very careful about that. Okay. Any manager's reports? None. General manager's report.
I just wanted to give a quick update on our progress with the water meter installation project. We are almost concluding phase one. What we did is we did the type one installations and type two installations, saved the hard type three installations for last, and they are in the process of doing those now, in fact, winding them down. Virgil, how many days would you say?
Pardon me?
Do you think they'll be done by the end of this week?
End of this week, if not Monday.
So phase one is almost done, thankfully.
Time-wise, where are we in our anticipated time frame for phase one? Are we over, behind, ahead?
I'm going to have to bring back further analysis on that. We've had several rain days that have caused some delays, and but we'll try to map that out for you and give you a report on that next.
That's
what I'm saying. Let me just say,
clarify that, you know, with the drought, there are still some drought regulations in play. And one is you cannot hose down your driveway or sidewalk. So the contractors were given, when they go to the yards, put dirt or mud on the sidewalk or the street, the best they can do is sweep that up. They can't hose it down. So when it really rains and you're tromping on the grass, you are tracking mud onto the surface. And it is thin layer mud, but it is mud. But some residents have really complained about that, but I have to explain to them, we're still under the drought regulations, and we can't be hosing down the driveways or sidewalks. We just gotta let nature take care of
it. We've got recycled water out of the plant, right?
Yep, we can't put that out
there. Can't use that?
Okay. Anything else for your report?
Oh, pardon.
Chris, I'm sorry.
I just would like to have the town, and regarding the fence lines along Clipper, there's some walls that need repainting. I know it's a property owner association, and I know those areas need, they may need to remind them that they need to maintain those, what is common wall areas with the public viewpoint. But just along the Clipper Drive, I noticed there was some, the weather's been harsh on the walls, so.
That's a big lot.
The whole fence line along the whole sidewalk.
Where the sidewalk goes along?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Anything else for your report?
That concludes my report.
Okay, we have correspondence from the Special District Risk Management Authority and information on the interim fire chief. Any future agenda items?
I'd like to throw it out there that I've talked to some people with regards to what our next few months holds with regards to mosquitoes, and I'm wondering if we might want to have the mosquito vector guys from the county come in and just give us a report on what to expect out here. I mean, none of us really have standing water on our property, but it surrounds us, and I don't know if it's, I'm just thinking, I'd like to hear what they have to say and know what we have coming up in front of you. It might be a good informative thing when we have time in a meeting that maybe is a PAC or something like that.
Mike, can you make arrangements for that?
Thank you.
Any other future agenda items? Do I hear a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
One more.
Future agenda possible?
Yeah. I asked for the records, but we'll take one from you, too. Sorry.
With respect to the tunnels and the impact they might have on our groundwater, which is what we live with and what we have, I think the town needs to as the district is looking at this water, needs to spend more time to figure out what would happen with the environmental impact report on our water if the tunnels turn everything else out here salty.
Good point. Thank you. Now moving on to adjournment. The motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all very much.